Hello and welcome to the Newscaster Studio, a place for those who choose to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth without being censored. I am your host, Victoria Lee Scott, coming to you from Long Beach, California, and today my guest is a great American, Mr. John Moody. One, he is here with his three-part China trilogy, with a sneak peek at the latest book that he's going to be releasing, if I'm not mistaken, in December. So this book is Just Another Country. He's an author, journalist, and a total disruptor. With his first book, Of Course They Knew, Of Course They. His second book, The World We Wish. And topping off the final leg of his trilogy detailing China's ongoing campaign to destroy the United States. He is here with Just Another Country. Welcome, John Moody, to the Newscaster's studio.
Victoria, always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for the nice introduction. The only slight alteration I'll make is the new one, Just Another Country, is now available on Amazon and all the other e-publishers.
You beat me to it. I thought it was going to be released in December. Good for you, because you know what? Our country needs to hear what you're saying. You have come on, actually, with each one of your books. I think we have done a radio show. The first one, Of Course They Knew, Of Course They Knew, you exposed so much of Wuhan, a place that very few in this country even heard of before coronavirus.
And, well, that's right. I mean, Wuhan was an unknown until this happened, and despite the fact that it has 11 million people and was the center of the virology laboratory research that China was doing, which they used to create what we now call the COVID virus.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, John, because I did a radio show in 2019 on that laboratory. And everybody, at that point, nobody was putting anything together except, you know, we were just starting to see the beginning of what you actually say is China's ongoing campaign to destroy the United States. So start with book one. So we did, you know, you have Of Course They Knew, Of Course They. What did you expose in that book with China? Because all of your three trilogy really wraps up the relationship, what's going on in today's time between the United States and China, correct?
Yeah, that's the point of it. And I'm very glad that at least the online, the e-versions of the latest book are available now, because it'll be a day or two until President Biden meets with Xi Jinping, the dictator of China, and it was Xi Jinping's decision to meet in San Francisco that caused that blighted city to try to clean up the streets and get some of the homeless people off the sidewalks.
Well, you know, John, I'm quite interested to hear your take on how many of our public officials are going to China, and now we got Xi Jinping. So what are we really looking at? I mean, you've exposed so much with your first book, and then you went on in your second book, The World We Wish, which also has captivated the metaverse with so many of our young people. And not only that, but after doing that interview with you, I became aware of the elderly population in my business that is using the metaverse because they think it's keeping their brain sharp.
Yeah, I mean, it's keeping their brain sharp pretty much the same way putting spaghetti into boiling water and leaving it there for 20 minutes keeps your spaghetti nice and hard. It's a trap. Really? You go into the metaverse because you think it's cool, because you can call yourself anything you want. Right. It can be, you know, some people call it an avatar. The more up-to-date version of it is Quinn, because that's the quintessential you. And, you know, sometimes you go in there and you're so enraptured with what you see and the people that you meet and are talking to that you forget that it's all being monitored, and every opinion that you give and every bit of information about your personal life is being recorded, and it will always be in the Chinese files.
And you know what I find really crazy? So, you know, there's something when we did your interview about maybe not being able to remove yourself from the metaverse at one time in the future. And, you know, and I really understand that. So my point is as the world gets uglier and uglier, why would someone, it's like a real addiction, isn't it, John? Because why would someone, just like people who don't want to deal with their everyday life, drink and do drugs. So why wouldn't someone who's created this fantastic life for themselves inside of a metaverse, why wouldn't they want to spend more time there than they would in the real world? I mean, do you think that some point in time that there'll be a choice there?
Well, you know, that's exactly what Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, who, and he now calls it Meta, and, you know, there's a reason that he's called his company Meta. He has said, someday we will all spend our lives in the metaverse. Right. Now, that's about the scariest thing I've ever heard of, aside from the fact that Mark Zuckerberg is running it.
That's a really scary, scary thought. And you know, there's one common link, as you know, to all of your books, and the new one, which is, I mean, it just tops it all, Just Another Country. So what do you exactly mean by Just Another Country?
Well, Victoria, I've been thinking about this for years before I started writing this last book. So many Americans do not understand the blessings that God has shed on this country. And they think, well, you know, the food's better in Italy, and I like the government in Germany better, and China makes great wonton. This is a special country. This is a unique experiment in freedom. And it is not, to use my title, just another country. And I'm trying to make that point in this final book of the trilogy so that anyone who reads it, especially if they are Americans, can puff up their chest a little bit and look up into the heavens and say, thank you, God, for letting me be here.
Yeah, and that's probably one of my, you know, I just graduated from college and I was on a radio show this morning talking about my experience in doing that, because I've dealt with, you know, I went to a Christian college and I dealt with young people. And it's just very interesting to me how uneducated they are into the founding of exactly the principles that we get to live by and the liberties that we get to have. And yet to listen to them and to see their openness and their acceptance for the government to do everything for them, which, you know, they don't realize. And that's what we were sharing this morning, that you know, what we take, yeah, free government this, free government that, but nothing is free. And they enslave a country. And that's what the scariest part is dealing with the next generation, John. If we start going to where now, I had a young kid come to the counter and he went to pay for something and he swiped his card, right? So then I turned the machine around and I said, all right, well, sign. This is a high school, ready to graduate high school, and he looks at me and he says, I don't have a signature. And I looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? So my point is that they have no respect for money because they're just swiping cards. In God We Trust is not even part of their vocabulary because they have no idea what's even on the money. And we're talking about trying to educate people on what's happening in the freedoms that they're losing when they weren't even taught the concept of the freedoms that they have, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point, Victoria. I think that we've endured decades worth of brainwashing.
Yes.
I mean, ever since the end of World War II,
yes.
The whole mainstream media has been dedicated to the proposition that America is a terrible place. Never mind that we saved the world from the Nazis. Never mind that we put, you know, Japan down and kept it in its place. We're too powerful. We're too good. We have too much. We're too rich. We're too, you know, and people hear this, and especially people younger than I am, hear it, and it's a steady diet of anti-American vitriol. And so, of course, they think that it's not a very good place to live, because they're told that. Every movie they see, every television show they see is about dirty cops or government officials that are no good, or, you know, people being afraid to express themselves. It's self-degradation,
right,
that we have in America now. That's the new fantasy.
Yeah.
And one of the points I tried to make in this book is, you know, John F. Kennedy converted a lot of people to patriotism in 1961 when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Those words are almost forgotten. They're worthy of mockery now, because people think, hey, you know, I'm here now, I'm safe. Let's see what the government's going to do for me. I don't want to work hard. Let them do it.
Well, and then to top it all off, they spread a virus that kept you where everybody got to sit at home in their pajamas, and then they sent them paychecks.
Especially if you're living in the metaverse, you don't have to get dressed every day.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, it's really interesting what you've done. We've got a lot on our plate. And, you know, when you did the creation and the release of the virus, you know, which was COVID, and then we've got Putin and Iran, and, you know, I was doing radio shows when Putin took Crimea. John, there was little if no conversation on that whole thing. And you know, we just keep watching. And the same thing with artificial intelligence. I have been banging on my desk, is this thing on to my microphone in reference to TikTok and what we're doing in artificial intelligence. And if people are just, they're being swept in this tidal wave with no knowledge, that's what's frightening to me.
Victoria, TikTok is another excellent example.
Okay.
Remember, TikTok is owned by China.
Right.
It reports to the Chinese Communist Party. And if you think that you're having a nice conversation or swapping pictures of you and your friends at a party,
right,
or what, remember that it is all being put in the record. It is being kept, and it can be used and will be used against you. And then you have liberals here saying, oh, gee, is TikTok pro-Palestinian? Well, 90% of its content about the Middle East is pro-Palestinian. And the 10% that might say something good about Israel is usually censored or berated by other users.
Correct.
So go answer your own question. Is TikTok pro-Palestinian? Is it anti-American? And since its owners are Chinese, who do you think it answers to?
And that's what I don't understand. We've got people that control so many things are on it. I look at my clients and I'm looking at their children and I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm sorry. I've never been on it. And Lord knows you can Google me from bodybuilding to everything else I've done, but that's not my point. My point is I find TikTok to be an incredible danger to our youth, and I am watching it. I mean, I've owned my salon for 29 years, and I've watched these kids grow up from their first haircuts to their wedding haircuts. And I am sitting here watching the dumbed down of, and what is important really isn't important, and this ridiculous acceptance of things that really should not be accepted. And I'm looking at Hollywood, and I'm looking at, I mean, the horror coming out of Hollywood is exposing itself for exactly what it is. And it's showing. You don't even have to say anything. Everything that's coming out of there, you're able to see. But what my point is, if we allow this to keep going and we don't stop and turn the tide and start educating people, John, really, where are we going to go? China is so close. And here's another thing I wanted to ask you. These big facilities that China is building that are so-called solar facilities all over this country and nobody's aware of. They built in Georgia. They're building in Jersey. What are these huge Chinese supposedly solar power companies? I mean, that's got to come back to bite us.
I mean, remember that one of the functions of solar power is to supply electricity for other companies and other businesses.
Correct.
Now, if you don't think that the so-called solar plant is recording everything that is going on in the factory that it is helping to power, or in the offices that it is building and helping to power, you're crazy.
With
regard to TikTok, I think so many Americans, and I'm sorry to say it about my own people, but so many Americans are so stupid that they just say, well, it's online. It must be safe. Somebody must be making it safe for me. And they don't want to do the research. They don't want to look at it themselves. Hey, you know, it's cool. I saw a really great picture on TikTok. Well, right. Yes, but who put it there? And right. for what purpose? Right. And what do you think happens to the pictures you put on TikTok?
That's what they're not getting. I find, you know, and I thank you so much because I personally have learned and grown from what you've put out there. I cannot tell you when I was on the plane, John, I just sometimes I take books because they're conversation starters. And your first book, wherever I went, your first book always had somebody asking me about it.
Well, I hope this latest one does the same, Victoria, yeah. because what I've done this time yeah. is put in perspective and put under, I hope, a bright light what China is doing with artificial intelligence.
That's
now, you know, it was about a year ago that a New York Times columnist, who a very, very well respected columnist, got access to ChatGPT. And we all know what that is now. It's an artificially intelligent conversation. And you talk to AI. And as the conversation continued, the columnist became very aware that the AI chat bot, as it's called, the chat bot for robot, was getting personal with him and saying, are you married? Are you really? Happily married? Do you think you could love me? I love you. And he was not looking for this kind of a conversation. He was trying to have a more intellectual, more academic conversation with this AI, this non-living, intelligent being. Now, I think that in the year since that column was published, we've all gotten a little bit nervous about the possibilities for artificial intelligence. Right. And some people want to put, you know, guardrails around it so that the AI bots, and again, bot is a shortened term for robot, mm-hmm. can't know too much or use the information that it has for bad purposes. Well, in this latest book, Just Another Country, the bots have taken over. They're smarter than we are.
Oh, really?
They're smarter than we are. They're faster than we are. They're more powerful than we are. And pretty soon, they're going to start to tell us what to do.
Every hair is standing up on the back of my neck because I know exactly what you're talking about. OMG. Wow. So let me ask you a question, John. You seem to know a lot all about this. How much time have you actually spent in China? Do you understand the language? Do you know the culture? I mean, how much? Because you've written incredible pieces on China and the United States. So can you just give me a little bit of clue, like how much you sure. know about what's going
well, sure,
on?
Well, sure. I mean, to answer the first couple of questions, I've never been to the People's Republic of China because I can't get a visa. I've been denied a visa several times.
Oh, wow.
I don't speak either Mandarin or any other version of Chinese. But I have been in chat groups with Chinese people who speak English and have learned an enormous amount about how they feel about the Communist Party. Chinese are no smarter than we are. They know that everything they say in an online conversation can be recorded and can be used against them. But some of them are just so fed up with what they see happening in their own country that they go on these English chat sites and unburden themselves of their anger and their bitterness. So I've learned a huge amount from doing that. And ever since I've started writing the first book, of course they knew, I've been trying to read everything I can about China, and especially about the Communist Party of China, and even more especially about Xi Jinping, yeah. who is trying to make himself the most powerful person in the world.
And you know, you use that word trying, but if you really look at the big picture, he's succeeding in a lot of ways. My biggest thing is, you know, my biggest thing is our power, John. I really, really worry about the everything that we run on in this country. And, you know, China developed 5 long before we did. I mean, you know, and I just think that in so many ways, as far as their people and what they've discipline them to do, you know, their determination and their raison, so to say, is a lot more focused than ours. And I worry about the backlash that artificial intelligence, especially AI, I mean, AI, I truly believe, and my writing as far as when I graduated with honors was artificial intelligence versus the human spirit. I mean, there's a lot to be said. So,
yeah. Look, I mean, as you correctly say, the Chinese are much more determined in their studying, in their production of new products, in what they're allowed to do, and in what they're how they focus their efforts. Americans are more interested in, you know, who said what on The Golden Bachelor this week than they are in protecting democracy.
Right, but you know what I find one of the biggest differences, John? I find the biggest difference is even though the Chinese, they still bow down to the authoritarian arm, whereas in this country, if you notice, the respect for authority has literally, right down to our middle school classrooms, has disappeared. For our police, for any kind of authority, the generation coming up just has no tolerance. And mainly, I have said for many years, if we stop the art of debate, if we lose that, then the only thing that we have left is violence. And you can see it on our college campuses. And the only thing that I was happy about today is that the big funders are starting to take a good look at their Harvard and at where their money is going. And maybe if we start cutting back some of the money, that might help the situation as far as what's happening in academia. Because right now, why would a parent, you know, why would a parent send a child, you know, to spend all that money for college? I don't know. But
well, that's
I do worry about...
I think it is starting to seep in.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, so many American parents, quote, only want the best for my child.
Yeah.
And so they focus on, let's say, a half dozen or a dozen excellent universities that have excellent reputations. And if their little sweetheart gets in, then they forget about what's going on campus. Most of them don't know.
I know.
And some of these huge pro-Palestinian on-campus demonstrations, many of which turn violent, the parents don't even know that their kids are doing it.
Exactly.
That's why the kids mostly are wearing masks at these protests. It's not because they're afraid of getting COVID.
No.
They just don't want their parents to find out that they're doing it.
Of course. And then, you know, and that to me is a big concern. Because, you know, I really worry that if you, like, we're in this pot that's boiling. You and I both know it's boiling. But there's so many people, like those frogs, don't know it's boiling yet. So they're still in there. But what I worry about is when that moment hits where people start realizing stuff. And because there is nothing in place, because there are so many different points of view and nothing united. Because of that, I just think it's like people are going to see it as a free-for-all and chaos. And that's what I worry about. I worry about, you know, we had a dry run with BLM. What did the police do, John? They didn't go out there and squash BLM. No, they closed up the precinct and they went home. I mean, you got to be kidding me. We closed police precincts during those protests, which was
it's the loss of pride in our country,
right,
and what it stands for and the basics of our freedom, which we are very happy to derogate and say, oh, you know, America's racist, America's unfair, America doesn't like immigrants, America doesn't like poor people. Well, okay. Closing down police stations is not really the answer, as San Francisco has found out,
right,
and as Portland, Oregon have found out. And, you know, now they're in a scramble to try to clean up San Francisco, at least the parts that Xi Jinping is going to see.
Let me ask you that, John. Let's face it. It's probably one of the most deteriorated cities in you know, sanctuary cities that we have in the United States. Why does Xi Jinping want to go to San Francisco? Why?
Well, I think there's an Asian PAC meeting that was scheduled to be there, and he the fact that he is attending was significant, and now the fact that he wants to meet Biden is even more significant. But, you know, he's not going to come to San Francisco and tell Joe Biden, gee, I really would like to be friends again. That might be what the press release says, but he's coming to say, you know what, Mr. President, we're smarter than you, we're stronger than you, stop getting in our way, do what we tell you.
I have a fit, you know what? And that is probably some of the most frightening words I have ever heard. But in your voice, I heard exactly what you were saying. And that is exactly what he's coming to do, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he knows that he's in San Francisco, yeah. And that he will be quoted and followed around every second that he's there. Yeah. I'm not sure Joe Biden is going to know that he's in San Francisco, but I hope he does.
Right. Wow. That's that the whole reality of all this. And the same thing, too. Well, look how many of our officials are going to China. What is Buttigieg doing in China?
Well, sure. I mean, they go to talk about trade, and then they come back, and they've had their clocks cleaned by the Chinese that they were sitting across the table from.
Yeah.
The Chinese are very adept at getting what they want, and what? They don't really care how they do it, as opposed to, you know, pie-eyed, liberal government officials who go over and say, we really appreciate your seeing us. I mean, Anthony Blinken went over to China to try to talk about the Middle East, and Xi Jinping had him sitting at the side of the table like he was a secretary.
Most certainly. It is humiliating, and that's just, and you know what? In this administration, I don't know what we're going to do, John. I really do not. It is frightening to look, and one minute I'm seeing snippets, and I'm like, something here isn't right. It isn't going right. It doesn't look right. It doesn't pass the smell test as far as I'm concerned what's happening at the top. And it's absolutely frightening because I have a feeling that they've got something because you can't just leave Joe Biden and Kamala. Something's got to be in the works. Something. And
well,
and
I mean,
time
yeah,
is running
good.
Short. They're trying to hang Donald Trump and his family and everything else to get him out of the way because they really, I mean, their greatest fear is him. I mean, let's face it.
Well, I mean, every 4 years, at least up till now, Americans get to say who they want to be president. Let's hope that, that happens again next year, and we'll see if Joe Biden can talk his way through another term.
Are you serious? Come on. There is no way he's going to talk. Not unless they got somebody else's head on him, okay? There is no way that that man is going to be able to make another term as far as I'm concerned. You think he's going to be able to pull off any debates or are they going to basement him again? I mean, serious. You know what? First of all, I don't put anything past the bad guys. I think that this is all about power right now. And you know as well as I do that they're not giving up any of it. And, you know, and it's scary to get a reality check on really what has happened to our country. And, you know, it's like it reminds me of the Roman Empire while they were all in the Colosseums and betting and drinking and watching all that stuff. The bad guys came in and destroyed Rome. Well, it's no different than what happened to us.
Yeah. Let's remember one other thing that happened in ancient Rome.
Mm.
They let a lot of foreigners come in.
That's right.
To clean the streets and you know, build the swords and all that stuff. But the people that they let in weren't Romans.
Right.
And they didn't have that pride in the empire that was Rome.
Exactly. And that's, we wonder why we face the same thing.
Yeah.
What do they say? If you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it, right?
That's it. Look, I mean, you talked about sanctuary cities, and New York City is one of the worst situations that I can imagine.
Yeah.
They've opened up hotels. They've converted hotels into safe places for the immigrants. There was a group of Venezuelan immigrants who were put up in a New York City hotel, and the first thing they said they wanted to do was put a Venezuelan flag outside it.
See? That's my point. That's why we had a system to enter this country. And once the wall and everything else was stopped And this administration, from the day this administration stepped into office, we have put the welcome mat out. However you can get here, you're welcome. What do we expect? And now we have enough immigrants that are larger than the size of some of the states, not even counting what has gotten in that hasn't been counted. And my biggest fear is there is going to be backlash. I just had a young guy sitting in my chair this week. And I said to him, I said, so what do you do? Well, he couldn't tell me what he did, right? So he couldn't tell me what he did. But when I said to him, where are you from? He says, he's from Russia. How long have you been here? He says, 7 months. And I said to him, so what are you doing here? And he wouldn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me. And I found that. And then he had the nerve because I just kind of shut up and I looked at him and I got these blue eyes of mine and I made two fingers to my right, my eyes to the two fingers to his eyes, like I'm watching you. And before he left, John, he turned around to me. He goes, when I come back for my next haircut, I'll tell you what I do. And I'm like, I'm sure you will. So it was just very interesting that he's only been here for 7 months. But he wouldn't. There is just way too many that have come into this country from China. I do a lot of the college guys. So I do a whole bunch of guys that are here on college visas from China, and I love to sit there and question them, you know. And then when I say to him, "Oh, the government sent you here," I got one that stood up and he was like, "No. My mother and father paid for me," you know, and he was adamant that the government, they don't want it to be known if the government has sent them here. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Well, you know, look, Victoria, I mean, you said that there used to be a system for letting people into the country, for getting immigrants into the country. And part of the deal was supposed to be that they learned to be Americans.
Exactly.
And that they were happy to be Americans. What you've got now is a system where the way to get into the United States is to walk in and start to complain about it. And, you know, this is not what I was used to in my country. Of course, that's the obvious answer to that is, well, if you like your country better, there's a way to get back.
Well, nobody realizes that we actually have rules and regulations for people coming into this country. Have to accomplish. And that's what nobody realizes. So what you're doing is they were doing that, and that system was set up for them to acclimate to us. But instead, we put everything on the back burner, and now this country's trying to acclimate to anybody and anything. It's just ridiculous. That's not the way it was designed to be. But we have destroyed the system. That's probably one of the biggest problems.
Well, Victoria, I'm glad you pointed that out, and I'm glad we're talking about it a little bit, because a good part of my latest book is set in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so you see from the other side of the Rio Grande what's going on there and who's encouraging people to try to get across the border. Mm-hmm. Not surprisingly, there is a large, and I mean thousands large, contingent of Chinese in Mexico who are helping, so-called helping, illegal immigrants to get across the river and into the United States. And they're not telling them, you know, once you get in there, we hope you become good Americans. No. They're saying, get in there and tear that place down.
Yeah, they're going to tell them, get in there and wait for our signal because y'all sleeping right now. But sooner or later, something's going to awaken them. When they have enough of them spread throughout this country, they will awaken them somehow, some way. Somehow, John, they will figure out their, I don't know what it is, if they want their bills paid. Remember what Hitler, they will give you their God for their measly paychecks. They will give you their God. So if you think that these people coming into this country haven't hooked up into a system somewhere on their way here so they can be tracked, and if they want to eat or if they want to do anything, they've got to perform in a certain way. Is that possible? I believe it is.
Sure, but I mean, one of the greatest failures, and there have been many failures of the Biden administration, but one of the greatest failures is the way that it has just shrugged its shoulders about illegal immigration.
Totally.
And the tidal wave of illegals who have come into the country, and Biden has just said, well, you know, maybe they'll become good. It's good for us. Diversity is good. And then a couple of months ago, what did he say? He said, you know, there's a lot of people coming in here, and a lot of them are criminals, and maybe we should build a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, really, Joe? I mean, where'd you get that idea?
I hold Mayorkas responsible. I think he is the weak link. I really do. I don't like him at all, never have. And it just, the lies, the blatant lies that they've all been able, from Brennan all the way back to Clapper. They sat in front of this comrade, and Clapper, he looked like he was profusely sweating. Remember his hand going across his bald head because he didn't know how to answer the question? If you didn't see the blatant lie right there, are you serious? I mean, so we've allowed all this, John. That's my point. It's like, when does the scale tip where Americans say, hey, enough is enough, we're done here?
Well, and again, Victoria, every 4 years they get a chance. Now let's see if they're smart enough to say it.
Yeah, but the thing is what happens if this election goes as corrupt as the last one? You think the people are going to stand for this now, John?
I think that the mainstream media has set up a scenario where complaining about election irregularities is seen as a crime.
Right.
And it is not a crime to complain about an election.
Right.
You may not have it go the way you want it to,
right,
and you have a right to say, no, you know, that's not how it should have been. Now, violence, taking on, you know, setting places on fire,
sure,
hurting other people, no, we don't
right
want that.
Right.
But this idea that, you know, we can't say anything about an election
right
is partly, you know, maybe they're borrowing something from China. Maybe they're finally getting an import from China that's worth something.
Yeah. Well, it's real un-American as far as I'm concerned. The day we stop asking questions is the day we're starting to really slide faster downhill. Not that we're not sliding now, but I truly do believe in this country, and I truly believe, and that's why I built this studio and this company, because I believe there are voices and experiences and hopes that need to be shared. I credit you so much, John, for taking the time to do what you have done to help the American people gain knowledge as to what we are facing. What you are writing is, today is our time. We all sat behind our closed doors, as you explained. Of course they knew, of course they. Yes, they knew exactly what they were doing. And then to find ourselves all sitting here and being, you know, nothing but entertained by AI, metaverse, or movies, or streaming, or binge watching, or any of that other stuff. And you wrote another book, In the World We Wish, again, trying to reach and educate people on the world that we live in now. And now, bring into us just another country. We are not just another country. And I hope that everybody who listens, and as I push this out for you, that people understand what you've created here in this trilogy and with China's ongoing campaign to destroy the United States. It is incredible,
Victoria,
and I thank you.
As I finished writing this latest book, I knew who I had to dedicate it to.
Hmm.
And the book is dedicated to everyone who believes that America is not just another country.
That's fantastic.
And I hope that your many listeners take that seriously, and maybe they'll learn something from the book. And most of all, remember that America is the greatest experiment in history,
right,
and that it is not just another country.
I thank you so much, John Moody, for all that you do and all that you write. And I know you're going to continue to keep us informed with your writing. I won't even say entertained, because it's more like research when I read what you write. I learn different things, I see different characters, and more importantly, I see a point of view that expands my own thoughts. So I thank you for taking me on your journey with everything that you write. And
thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure, and I learn from you as well. So keep up the good work, sir.
You keep doing what you do, and you and I'll talk really soon. And so the book is out. I'm going to put where everybody can get the book up on the news company here in the studio spotlight. So I'm also going to put the cover of your book up. So if you just want to give a little shout out for yourself as to where people can get the book, and we'll end with that.
It's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble online, it's on Apple Books, it's on every place that you would go to online to buy a fine book. And I hope your very many listeners will do that, and I'll keep trying to tell them what I think and what I've learned.
Thank you, John Moody, for all that you do. Stay strong, stay safe, and you and I will talk soon. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so there you go. First broadcast of the Newscaster Studio by the former Vice President of Fox News, Mr. John Moody. His books are absolutely fantastic, like we did speak today for almost 40 minutes on the three-book trilogy series, How China Is Their Ongoing Campaign to Destroy the United States. So remember, get a hold of his books. Of course they knew, of course they, about the coronavirus, how it originated, and what it was that actually happened during that time. John's second book, The World We Wish, has to do with Zuckerberg, the metaverse, and the warnings that are coming with that book. And John's new book, Just Another Country, dedicated to all Americans showing who believe that America is not just another country. Until next time, America, strength and honor always. This is Victoria Lee Scott coming to you from the Newscaster Studio. Visit us at thenewscasters.com. Check out the different studios. We have a lot of different shows going up. And if you're interested in your own show, just fill out the application and I'll give it a check over and we will welcome you to the Newscaster Studio. Until next time, America, strength and honor always.